Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 13th of February, recording at 9:56 p.m. and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first a quick look at the highlights here today. In stock markets, within Asia first, generally steady. Most of these stock markets saw small rises, although an increase in relative performance by Australia, up 0.94%. The European stock markets closed with modest gains here today, and the one exception to that was the Spanish IBEX, but it was down just 0.1%. And in North America, we had some generally solid gains here, particularly by the NASDAQ, up nearly 1%, but another 9 points on the S&P, taking it up to 1351.77. So offsetting most, if not all, of Friday's decline. And Brazil, which had seen a fairly sharp fall at one stage last week, recovered, well, that and more, up 2.65%. Now, in the long-dated government bond prices, we saw mostly a little bit of easing, although really the bunds flatlined and gilts were up a tiny, tiny fraction, but very quiet activity in those prices. The U.S. dollar is a little bit easier in here. One of the stronger gainers is the Australian dollar, again bouncing back after a bit of weakness on Friday. And the price of precious metals mostly higher in here too. Well, no, it's 50-50. Gold, as I speak, just about unchanged. It's actually up half a dollar. And silver's a little better, up 11 cents. But we saw a bit of slippage in palladium and platinum. And the industrial metals were all lower today. Most of the agricultural commodities were stronger, particularly soybeans. And an exception to that, I see that coffee was a little bit weaker. One or two others were as well. And that's pretty much it. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, it's been an absolutely stunning start to the year, and it's still breaking records. I mean, for most of these stock markets, this is the best beginning of a year for at least a decade, and some of the others go back five, six or more years further than that to find a comparable performance. Now, to what can we attribute that? And if you are a subscriber, have been a subscriber really since the fourth quarter of last year, you will be well aware of what the reasons are. But however often one figures out the reasons and the likely confluence of events that are going to produce a move of this sort, it is exceptional, and it bears a little bit of assessment. But the point that I've mentioned in these audios most frequently, and also in comment of the day, is monetary policy. I mean, monetary policy, in my opinion, is by far the most important single indicator. And if monetary policy is on hold, well, then it becomes more often than not a lesser influence and will be likely to be outweighed by other factors. But what do we actually have today? We've got the U.S. continuing with its quantitative easing. The U.K. just added another 50 billion sterling to its quantitative easing. We have the European Central Bank under Mr. Draghi producing a massive stimulus in terms of the loans made available, the cheap loans made available to the European banking sector. And that is basically his own version of quantitative easing. And I say that the figures are absolutely massive. And in the next round of increases, many estimate that this will be more than a trillion euros worth of stimulus. Then we have the growth economies, which, of course, were raising interest rates, and they started doing so, some of them, as long ago as 2000. Well, many of them did start raising rates in 2010, and were progressively tightening monetary policy for most of last year. Brazil was the first to break ranks and begin to lower rates. And it has had one of the best recoveries among some of the bigger economies and stock markets that we have seen subsequently. So again, monetary policy has been hugely positive. Now, there's always the fear when monetary policy is well, let me just finish on the Asian countries. Because we have yet to see an interest rate cut from India, and have we had an interest rate cut from China? I don't think so. We've had a lowering of reserve requirements, but some cuts are very likely to occur, particularly for India. And so I think the prospect of any tightening in monetary policy in the near future is as close to zero as it can possibly be. And the scope for further easing in the growth economies, while the developed economies remain flat out in their stimulus, is considerable. So, in terms of that background alone, it really could not be more positive. Now, there are often fears that this will be pushing against the proverbial piece of string, and it won't. It won't achieve anything. I am seldom, if ever, in that camp because that money is going to flow somewhere. And stock markets are one of the areas where clearly and predictably it has been flowing. And I think that's likely to continue as well. And to the extent that it improves confidence, that it leads to some fundamental improvement. And we have seen some evidence of that, not least in the United States. That's a positive development overall. But other technical indicators, which really can't be fudged here, because we're talking about facts. If confidence is improving, and remember, there's been a great deal of cash on the sidelines, and you remember how bearish people were at year-end when it was still fashionable to talk about hard landings and possible, well, not only double dips, but possible depressions. Now, so a lot of cash on the sidelines, and evidence that the animal spirits have been returning in this move are provided by the fact that this year, the best performers have been some of the most beaten-up markets. Greece, I haven't done a measurement of the percentage gains of all these indices, but I wouldn't be at all surprised if Greece isn't right up there as the top performing stock market, at least not since the beginning of the year, probably, but since its low point that it reached in about the middle of January. And what we're also seeing is that the defensive shares, which had a pretty good year last year, that they're still going up for the most part, but that the performance has, or the better percentage performance, relative performance, has now swung into the mid caps and smaller cap stocks. Also, the growth economies, which most people misleadingly still refer to as emerging markets, they have outperformed this year, indicating an increased risk appetite. And we've also seen those currencies improve a great deal for those markets, indicating that we're no longer getting that flight to cash. That's doesn't seem all that long ago, and well, it isn't all that long ago in calendar terms, but in terms of actual market performance, it seems distant past. And the US dollar, which proved to be such a safe haven during the second half of the year, has been under a bit of pressure as a consequence of all this. So that's the background overall. Now, what could go wrong? Are there any headwinds? And well, yes. There's the short-term overbought condition, short-term overextended conditions, probably a better way to phrase it, although they're one and the same more often than not. If you look at the daily charts for many of these indices, you will see that really from mid-December onwards, they've just been in these most orderly, consistent uptrend channels. And the characteristic for most of these is that they'll move up for 3 or 4 days, and then they'll get a little trading range of 3, 4, maybe 5 days, and then get another little step up. So it's a very consistent, orderly, persistent step sequence rise here. And that is just the clearest possible evidence that you've still got more money coming in than flowing out. But also, we do see this move becoming, as I say, overstretched. And therefore, it will spill over at some stage. It may spill over into, and people have been fearful that it will spill over into a very dramatic pullback, similar to what we saw so often last year. Now, that's a possibility, and if that does occur, I think quantitative easing would be a bigger pardon, not the quantitative easing, the high frequency algorithmic trading would be a big contributing factor. Quantitative easing, of course, is what's providing a great deal of the liquidity. So we couldn't rule out the possibility of a volatile, sudden risk-off environment sending these markets lower. But historically, and going back to the period well before the high-frequency algorithmic trading was a factor, what we would tend to see was a slowing of the overall momentum, but not a complete break of it. In other words, those little steps that I talked about in those uptrends, where you'd get a pause for 3 or 4 days, and then another step upwards, that often historically has given way to a longer ranging period. Maybe you get things ranging for 2, 3, 4 weeks. And then another step upwards. That type of move, as people are more inclined to take some profits, and the demand is a little less persistent, a little less dominant than we've seen of late. So that could also be a factor. That's the main short-term risk here, is that we do see some sort of a pullback in consolidation. But is that a risk to sell for? Well, not unless there's something that you're holding that you have been very concerned about for a very long time, and you feel you've had got a heaven-sent rally here in your hands, and you'd like to ditch that in favor of something else. But for any core positions, any positions that you really do like on a technical and fundamental basis, I don't think it's a sufficient risk to sell, unless you're seeing a parabolic upward acceleration, and some shares have seen that type of action. It's usually good to take some profits in that type of environment. Now, there's a more important consideration, which we've also mentioned daily in these broadcasts, and that's the price of crude oil. Now, today we actually saw the WTI crude. Well, it's trading here after hours. It's up $2, up to $100.72. But that's still basically all within an overall range. It's the Brent that I would pay more attention to, and that did rally up to 118.61 earlier today, but it's currently trading at 117.55. So that's steady within a multi-month trading range, and it has taken out some recent lower highs within that range recently. So that is a concern, because if we were to get a spike in that Brent crude, that really would be a game changer, and that would certainly jeopardize growth. And it would alarm investors, and I that would be an alarm signal that I would pay attention to. And in other words, it would be one to act on were we to see it. Now, we also want to watch commodities generally. I mentioned that grain and bean complex was firmer today with some solid gains, particularly in soybeans. If we start to see across the boards speculation in commodities pushing those prices higher, and I think commodities will go higher, I think it's just a matter of time here. Fortunately, they haven't gone up quite so much as stock markets recently, but there's often a quite high correlation between those two asset groups. And if we get, for instance, some somewhat worrying sowing and early season crop reports coming out of North America and Europe as we get into the spring, that would be an important concern. So there's always something to be concerned about here. I don't think it's Greece so much. We know that at the end of the day, these people are going to agree to what is being asked of them, or within a reasonable degree of uncertainty. We know that that's what they're going to do. It's all in the implementation. Do they then follow through with the measures that they undertake? It'll take some weeks, if not months, to determine that or not. So the problem hasn't gone away, but instead of talking about a crisis, we're really dealing with implementation of the various measures that are required. And obviously, the problem that has caused so much angst in the last year or so, and particularly the last 6 months, that problem is still there, but it is for the most part being contained, and it's not leading to the type of meltdown that investors were fearing in the fourth quarter of last year, and that's a very positive achievement. So, don't want to go on too long in this audio. I think I've covered the main points here. Overall, this is very much a cyclical bull market in equities right now, albeit short term, a little bit overbought. All the best.